This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Mark Viviano. My guest is a Catholic priest with a unique vocational story. His is a journey that's been written about and spoken of in the national media, and I have followed his story with keen interest for the entirety of my life. He is pastor of St. Andrew's Parish and Annunciation Parish, both in the Diocese of Jefferson City, Missouri, and we welcome my big brother, Father Anthony Viviano. Brother, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing well here, and I just want to say this is really a treat to share your unique insights with our listeners. Now, I mentioned at the outset here that yours is a unique vocational story. Non-traditional would be one description of your path to the priesthood. I'll just let you open up by describing your path to the priesthood in your own words.
Well, I think probably it all kind of began really unintentionally by the home that we were raised in, we were in an atmosphere, a milieu, if you will, of Catholicity, as our father, of course, you know, full-blooded Italian, mother full-blooded Polish, and certainly fond memories of even our great-grandparents and their devotion to the faith, passing down to the grandparents and, of course, to Mom and Dad. Our home, of course, was filled with the Catholic identity and the Catholic culture, with, you know, rosaries, prayer cards, pilgrimages, family novenas and prayers together. And so it was just part of the air we breathe, I guess you might say. And so we were rich in the Catholic faith, and I think that was really kind of the seedbed that kind of, you know, kind of was able to foster that idea of what one's vocation might be. Not that I was always thinking about that, but then through high school and college, you know, that would pop up and would kind of investigate different possible avenues, whether it's the Franciscans, the Jesuits, or whatever that might be. And then it didn't particularly take at that time, but I knew the door was open. Again, it was something that I knew was certainly a viable option. So I guess to fast forward, after graduating high school, as I was dating a friend, dating this gal, and then we were trying to stay on the right track, and we were actually speaking with a priest to help stay us on the track, and inevitably we got off the track. And long the shortest story is that we had a beautiful blessing through our relationship, and our daughter Melanie, May 21st, 1989, who is now 35 years old. And she's married to a wonderful guy, and have five beautiful children and one on the way. So I'm certainly blessed to be a grandfather in that way. But that's getting ahead of the story a little bit there. And so after she was born, I was in the family business for a while. And I think this just kind of started, kept nagging about the vocation. And in my particular story, I think I got off the path. I know I definitely got off my spiritual path, as happens, you know, when you're in your 20s, early 30s, etc. This can happen. And then by God's grace, pulled me back in, if you will, and started to re-engage with the Catholic faith and through the Mass and Eucharistic adoration and the Rosary, etc. And when thing led to another, and I spoke to my parish pastor, and Father Tom directed me to the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's sisters, down in the inner city of St. Louis. And I spent about a year with them as a volunteer, multiple days during the week. And I always consider that like my seminary before formal seminary, to watch these sisters operate on divine providence, being that they put their complete trust in God. You know, there's no email chains or phone banks, you know, you're calling for donations, etc. They pray, they do the work, and God provides. And it was a beautiful thing to see, and to see their self-sacrifice to live out the gospel message in a radical way, and to see their absolute reverence for the Mass and the respect for the priest brought things full circle from the way that we were raised up, and as an older person now, able to see that up front and center. And then eventually Father Tom asked me about thinking about the priesthood, and I didn't know that I would be eligible at that point because I had my daughter who was getting ready to enter college. So it was a viable option still at that point. So long story short, again, I went to seminary for 5 years at Sacred Heart School of Theology in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was ordained June 9th of 2012. And I just celebrated, my 12th year, I think, of the priesthood. So, and as you said, I'm currently here at St. Andrews in Tipton and Annunciation Parish in California, Missouri.
What would probably jump out to most, understandably, is you are a parish priest with a daughter and grandchildren. You described how that came about. Just curious, how has that been received by your parishioners? Positively, negatively, in any senses? How has that been as part of your journey, that is your truth, that is the truth in your story?
I would say very positively received. I never think about it. I've never thought about it from day one, like, oh, you know, what will people think about it? It is what it is, and I see it as a complete and total blessing. And it's pretty fascinating where people are really interested in your family as a priest. And every once in a while, I'll put in a family picture, which is really kind of encouraged by my secretaries, you know, oh, Father, people would love to see that. So it'd be like my daughter, my son-in-law, and all my grandchildren, like at Christmas or whatever it is, and to put it in the bulletin. And the people love it. They just love it. They'll put it, actually, I hear people saying, I have that on my refrigerator, the picture of your family. And it's very touching. And I think it's wonderful, and it's the people who they loved hearing about the family. Now, that being said, there are so many people along those lines that would say, how come we don't have married priests, and we should have married priests? Well, one, that's not the norm for the church. And secondly, the grass is not greener, as they say, on the other side. It is very difficult to do that. And not for me, because they're not my children, my grandchildren, but I do know some priests that came in through the pastoral provision who are married and have children. And, you know, you're considered full-time, first and foremost, the father of the flock of all these souls that are in your parish. So, you know, that's a whole nother topic, but I would just say, going back to your initial question, yeah, very well received, and it's certainly heartwarming for me, you know, to see that people are take to that. And I guess to expound upon that whole dynamic of myself having a former life, if you will, being in a family business and having a home for 25 years, I guess it was, And now, of course, being a father and a grandfather, you know, it, as I see it, all those things have really been part of the blessing to be a priest, to be a pastor, you know, that life experience. Not that you have to have it, of course, because, again, it's not the norm. But I would say it's very clear to me, I would say especially the business experience, that's been very helpful in having a business sense. Because, you know, as Dad had said before he passed, he said, you know, son, as a pastor, you're like the CEO. And you are. You have to oversee everything. You can't pass the buck. I mean, you've got to deal with all these things. And a lot of that is dealing with people, having relationships. And I think being a former business person, understanding that that customer relation, if you will, to go, you know, to the nth degree, to take care of your people, and to not make excuses, you know, say, like, hey, you got to deliver, you know, and you have to figure out a way to handle these different situations. So for me personally, that's been a blessing for sure. And I would say also dealing with the kids at the school. We have over 110 kids here at St. Andrews. You know, I can't help but be endeared to these kids as I'll actually picture my grandchildren as if they were in the classroom, seeing their little faces and, you know, how I would want the priest, you know, to be caring and kind to them. And it really, for me personally, just comes naturally, just the innocence and the goodness of these kids. You know, they just come flocking to you. It's like you walk in the building, it's like it's either Elvis or Santa Claus. So it's really sweet. And I'm very grateful for that.
Our guest today is my brother, Father Anthony Viviano, and we are talking about his vocational journey. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more of our conversation, thoughts from Father Tony, more about his family, his grandchildren, among other stories we're going to dive into. I'm Mark Viviano. You are listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Where can a Master of Theological Studies take you? At Loyola University, Maryland, our program prepares you for careers with nonprofits, religious ed, campus ministry, law, social work, and higher ed. Choose from three specialized tracks or our certificate in theology and ministry. Experience small classes, mentoring, networking opportunities, and more. Apply by August 1st for this fall. Learn more at loyola.edu/theology.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The Archdiocese of Baltimore will welcome a large group of people into full communion with the Catholic Church this spring. 320 catechumens, those who have not been baptized, and 458 candidates, those who are baptized but have not received one or more of the sacraments of initiation, participated in the Archdiocese Rite of Election and the Call to Continuing Conversion Liturgy at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland March 9th. Hailing from 52 parishes, as well as the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, all are scheduled to receive one or more of the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Holy Communion during Easter Vigil Masses across the Archdiocese. This year's group of candidates and catechumens has grown by more than 100 from last year. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Hundreds of students from the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Baltimore and the Archdiocese of Washington asked Maryland lawmakers to protect state programs that help non-public school students. They attended a rally outside the State House on Lawyers Mall March 4th and also spoke with their representatives. The students highlighted the importance of continued funding for important state programs such as the Broadening Options and Opportunities for Students Today Scholarship, also known as BOOST, is an initiative that provides tuition assistance to help students from low-income families attend non-public schools in Maryland. They also touted state funding for non-religious textbooks and technology in non-public schools and a program to help non-public schools with health and security initiatives. Maryland Governor Wes Moore included $9 billion in his budget for Boost, the same amount that the Maryland General Assembly approved last year. For more on this and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Mark Viviano. We are talking today with my brother, Father Tony Viviano of the Diocese of Jefferson City, Missouri. He is a father and a grandfather, and we are discussing his unique priestly journey. Father Tony, your daughter, Melanie, has five children, so you have five grandchildren. Joseph is the oldest of the group. What does he say about Grandpa being a priest or any of the other children? Any interesting perspectives that they share with you about that part of your life?
Yes, well, I would say, again, it's a very natural flowing part of their life because of the fact that Melanie and Jeff, they're raising their children very intentionally and very authentically in the Catholic faith. So, again, it's something that's not foreign to them, and it's something that they look up to. As right now, Joseph is 10 and a half, and he just started serving at Mass. And he was actually serving for me when I would offer Mass at the home, which I still do when I go to visit. And, you know, he was only, what, 5 or 6 years old, and he was doing his little server thing, you know, and he would get his nice clothes on and get his hair all combed and carrying the little crucifix. And I remember, you know, after Mass, we would process out down the hallway, and he still does to this day. He goes, "Hey, Poppy, that was a really good Mass." But now I see pictures of him. They live in San Antonio, Texas. He's got his cassock and his surplus on, and he's right in there. And of course, now Gianna, number two, she's received the sacrament of Eucharist and, of course, confession. And I heard her first confession, which she asked me to do. So all that, again, to go back to your question, it's very natural. It's very free-flowing in a very positive way that the kids recognize that Poppy is a priest. Yeah, it's a blessing. And I always say this is one of my greatest blessings, if not my greatest blessing, to know that my grandchildren are being raised in the faith that to the degree that they are, and that their mother and father are really living the life. And I just couldn't be happier for that.
It's beautiful. Now, one thing that Father Tony and I have in common, besides being brothers, you were ordained into the priesthood at the age of 49. I got married to my wife, Megan, at the age of 49. So it's fair to say we both made major commitments later in life. Curious what you would want men or even women to know about later in life discernment, in the case of a man of the priesthood, as you did. It sounds late, even to get married as late as I did, but as you did and experience, what would be something you would want men to know about that time in life and still having that opportunity if it is the case with a man?
Well, I think the biggest part of it really has to start with the prayer life and really being open, especially if you're in a situation where you're not quite sure where you're being called, even if you're in a later stage of life. Perhaps you are a widower, and or perhaps you just haven't been married, and you feel a pull inside like there's something more. Well, that might be a sign to, you know, investigate more into what the calling might be. Maybe it's to the diaconate, the permanent diaconate. Maybe it's to the priesthood, possibly. Maybe it's to the generous single life that you may already be living. But whatever it is, I think really the core begins with the prayer. You know, Lord, what is it that you're asking me to do? Maybe I'm right on the target, what you have me to do right now. Maybe there's something more, and I ask you to send me the graces to open up doors, open up my heart and mind, that I'm open to whatever it is that you would ask me to do.
Now, I have visited Father Tony and experienced the beauty of his parishes in rural Missouri, towns of Westphalia, Falk, Tipton, and California, all in farm country, multi-generational agricultural families, hard workers. There are many immigrants as well. Now, Father Tony, am I right to think that the ministry you're called to there in that environment might differ than for an urban or suburban priest? Is that, do you note a difference? It's all you've ever done is minister to those in a rural area. What's that like?
Well, first of all, I love being in the rural, or sometimes I call it the semi-rural area. And I like it because, one, the people are very down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth people. I certainly resonate with their work ethic, as you and I both know from being in growing up in the produce business, where you have this understanding of sweat equity, that you don't put time limits, there's no time clock on your work, that you do whatever it takes to get the work done. And so I'm just always enamored, and I think I can identify with the work ethic here. And then also one of the things, as you mentioned the word generational, these parishes that I've been blessed to be in, they're generational, where sometimes you'll have the great-great-great-grandfather was baptized, received all the sacraments, was married, and generation after generation after generation, their families are going through here, where their great-great-great-grandchildren are in the school that they went to. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about that, is that as difficult as things can be economically at times, these people will do whatever they can to make sure that their school and their parishes stay vibrant. So from that standpoint, it's a little easier on the priest, because you don't have a lot of transient workers, you know, corporate workers that are being moved around as you would in some of the bigger cities.
As we talk about your career as a priest, and we talk about vocations, you also served a Catholic high school with young people at Helias High School in Jefferson City. I'm curious as to what your experience and read has been on new vocations. If you're noting that there is interest among our young people toward the priesthood or religious life, what has been your sort of observation on that, as you are literally on the front lines there?
Well, there's definitely some interest in it. We're very blessed here right now. Our bishop, Bishop McKnight, he's been here for 6 years, and he's really kind of got the vocation pipeline going over the last few years. So that's been very helpful. I will say this, especially being at the Catholic high school for the 5 years that I was there, it's just difficult. It's just difficult in general. And I think our parents have such a greater task in front of them in raising their children, because they're going, our kids today, they have access to so much, I'd say too much. Mm. You know, with these doggone phones that we have. And, it's just tough, because they have so much and so much. I always describe it to my people here in the parishes, like, you know, especially for parents, you just have to be careful to make sure you monitor. If you're going to give your kids these cell phones, to monitor them, because they have the world at their fingertips, literally. Mm. You know, instantaneous information, for bad or for good. I believe our brains aren't really completely formed until we're in our early 20s. You know, so you're putting this device in these children's hands, even the teenagers, of course, that have access to stuff that they're really not, one, they shouldn't be fooling with in the first place, and two, in order to make sense of it and to try to give order to it, because a lot of the stuff that's coming through the phone is disordered, and it becomes the norm in their life. And kind of going back to the vocations, it just turns so much upside down that I think it's hard for kids to think about giving their life to God in the way of a vocation. So impossible? No, because there's vocations happening all the time, but I think it's much more challenging today for sure.
Something to pray about, something that I preach about, and my wife Megan and I certainly aware of it, and we always need prayers for our vocations, for our children. Father Tony, this has been a pleasure. I really hope our listeners have enjoyed your insights. I'm going to continue to lean on you as my spiritual advisor, and I appreciate you. I love you, brother. Thank you so much for your time.
Love you too, Mark. Thank you, brother.
And if you are interested in learning more about vocations to the priesthood right here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, be sure to check out bemorevocations.org for more information. Again, that site is bemorevocations.org. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Mark Viviano. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.